Hello, Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown! And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Welcome on in to Cougar Nation. Cougar Nation, Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte with you. Putting a bow on the 2023 BYU football season. Gosh, it was a tough one in Stillwater on Saturday as BYU falls to Oklahoma State in double overtime, 40-34. But beyond that, there's now coaching changes, staff being removed. We got a whole lot to unpack, and we're taking your phone calls, 801-575-8255. So much to get to over the next hour, Matt.
Let's get it started with what we do to start this show every single week.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
There really is so much to unpack, Mitch. There's big picture stuff, but I want to start things by zeroing in on the loss to Oklahoma State. And I felt like my biggest takeaway from the game, this felt like a complete and total coaching loss by the way that they coached that second half. You go into the break up 24-6. All you got to do is really score one more touchdown. And I think where it began was after the fake punt, and it was a beautiful fake punt to Tyler Batty. I didn't feel like there was urgency in that moment to put another one on the board. You had all the momentum right then and there. Go up 28-6 into the half. Then you get the football. And if you add even a field goal at that point, the game is over. But we have heard this so many times the past couple years from the BYU coaches, it makes me vomit, honestly. We win football games by taking care of the football. I get it. You don't want to be reckless with the football. But I feel like there's a stark contrast between taking care of the football and just being downright conservative. In that second half, they were outgained 3-1. They barely got over 100 yards. And if they didn't have that final drive where they moved more than half the field, they would have been under 100 yards for the whole second half. It was just run, run, dink and dunk, jet sweep, little screen here, don't do anything there, be conservative. And that's why they lost the football game. And I feel for the players because the players laid it on the line. They cared, and I loved that. And that's what makes this loss, to me, the most painful one of the season, is that the players laid it on the line and the coaching staff. And the way that they coached that second half, they coached not to lose, and coaching not to lose, they lost. And it was frustrating to feel like if you would just be more aggressive, get one more touchdown, you win the football game. That's not what happened.
First half, it felt like they were aggressive. Second half, well, I don't think they were. This was Kalani after the game.
We did everything we can. We threw the playbook at them a little bit, tried to find a way to get more possessions and things like that.
I don't know.
They did the first half.
Through first half, they threw the playbook. Second half, not so much. I thought that BYU, like you said, I mean, they were too conservative. And it's like, go down swinging. Yep. You know, you knew instantly the way Oklahoma State came out in that second half. They were ready to attack. They were ready to make a move. It's like, you were up 18 points, a three-possession lead, and it felt instantly in that game. BYU gets a three and out. Oklahoma State moves down the field. And even though they were still up by 11, it was like, uh-oh, this game is swinging in a hurry in favor of Oklahoma State. And BYU was just way too conservative. Another takeaway from me, Oklahoma State, it was an emotional setback. But to me, Matt, it's better at this point to get after it in the transfer portal. I know Kalani Sitake was saying he wanted to extend the season to hang out with the seniors and have bowl practices and whatnot. But to me, this was not a good football team. They finished 5-7. They close out a regular season with a 5-game losing streak. First time a BYU football team has done that since 1955. Come on now. It's been so long since that happened. It was just done. There was no need to get extra bowl practices. It's time to go into that transfer portal and retool this roster, retain some of the key players that you want to keep. But it's just, to me, it's better to move on. And that's why, you know, going away from or having the season wrap up, that's why we saw changes today with the coaching staff as BYU moved on from Steve Clark and Daryl Funk along the offensive line.
That was another takeaway. It was just clear in that football game that change had to be made. And the obvious one was Daryl Funk. The offensive line regressed. And look, there was too much talent on that offensive line to be as poor as they were. You've got a guy who's going to be selected in the NFL draft. I don't think he's a first-round guy anymore. But
no.
Kingsley's probably a day-two guy, second or third-round pick. That's great for him, and that's great for BYU. Connor Pay, what they did to Connor Pay is should be a crime, for heaven's sakes. That dude is a center. And when BYU ran the ball the best this season, he was the center. Him getting yanked around, that made no sense. It had to happen. The Steve Clark one to me is a little painful. I get it. The tight end production was not there. I thought he was a good recruiter. You know, he was great with the media. And, hey, stuff happens. I get it. But I thought that maybe there was enough there to see what he could do one more year. But it is what it is. When you go 5-7 and you have a chance, they had multiple chances to go to a bowl game and have a quote-unquote winning season, and you don't do so, change has to happen. That's what comes with the territory of Power 5 football.
There was a real argument to be made that the whole offensive staff should have been canned.
Yeah,
just let go, honestly. Because if you make these changes with Funk, Kalani was taking indirect shots in a way to Funk for weeks, saying the offensive line whiffed at West Virginia. And the film didn't lie. It was whiffs.
Yep.
We saw it on film. And then Keenan Slovis, we want to keep him safe. Keep him safe? What is this, the gangs? Like, what are we talking about here? Keep him safe? No, yeah, the offensive line won't protect for him because he's not a mobile quarterback and he's going to be taking shots left and right because this O-line can't protect. It was clear as day that the offensive line needed a change. But I think you're right with Steve Clark. I think that position group, though, regressed. And I think that, you know, with Isaac Rex, he was the one guy, and what a – it's just a sad way for that to end for Isaac Rex.
Horrible.
Terrible end for him. And you feel from the emotion that he had walking into the locker room. That was one of the more emotional scenes I have ever witnessed covering this team now for – this was my 10th football season in the media. That was pretty emotional. That to where you're like, it's pulling on your heartstrings a little bit. Seeing the emotion
because
that he had.
He's done so much good for BYU throughout his career.
But I think that, you know, he was a guy that's dealt with a lot of injuries, never really regained the form that he had in 2020. And after him, who was there? Ray Paulo, Mata'ava Taase, guys that back in July, folks like ourselves who follow this roster very in-depth were like, who?
Yeah.
And they were your number two and number three options? The tight end room was bleak. And but again, that can all circle funnel back to the OC.
I think it does, because you look at Dallin Holker, it would be a perfect case of put the blame on the OC and not the tight ends coach. If you had him in the mix and you were using the tight ends properly, are we having a different conversation?
But you make this change if you know you've already in your back pocket through backdoor networking and channeling, you've got something better. That's the only explanation, because Clark's solid.
Yeah,
like, I think he's a because
and his recruiting 2 4-star guys.
That's what
in the
I
past
like too.
Years.
He's a good recruiter because honestly, when it comes to assistant coaches, I don't need the greatest X's and O's mind. I need a brilliant recruiter, and if you're that, I'm okay to keep you because you're not ultimately calling the plays.
Yep.
So, and I like that he does have a offensive coordinator background to where he can share his insight and opinions when it comes to creating this game plan and
right.
getting ready for game day. But you make the change if you do know you've got a better upgrade, and that's going to be the case. We'll see in the coming days where BYU goes in that direction. I think a lot of people have thrown out the name of Jeff Grimes because
he's gone.
Baylor has moved on from him, but he always works at BYU. He is a surefire thing. Jeff Grimes, coaching the O-line, coaching the tight ends, that works. If BYU can get him, you're probably going to have to open up the pocketbooks to do it. I think BYU's got more resources than they put off. That'd be a nice addition for BYU if they could get Jeff Grimes. But you're going to have competition. He's been linked to maybe the UTEP head coaching job. That's his alma mater, so that's why that might be of interest to him.
I would advise anyone in the coaching profession to stay away from that UTEP job.
I agree, but if you're Jeff Grimes, you can always fall back on knowing an SEC program or somewhere is going to take you
or
as
BYU.
An online coach or BYU. As an O-line coach, and I think also, too, with him, see, to me, these changes today, and again, we're taking your phone calls, 801-575-8255. What needs to change for BYU football next season? BYU everyone's on the hot seat now. To me, everything's got to ramp up, especially Kalani and A-Rod. It's all ratcheting up where next year you've got to get to a bowl game.
Yep.
You can't just settle for 4-8, 5-7, say it's okay.
Nope.
You got to get to a bowl game. So you got to go with a surefire hire that you know is going to work. And that's why I think a name like Jeff Grimes makes a lot of sense for BYU if you can get him and bring him on as a associate head coach or run game coordinator. I'd be curious to see how the dynamic would work with him and Roderick if that happened. But you know that works. I think you need guaranteed this will work with someone when you're hiring on to the staff now.
Got to get to a break. Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. Taking your calls on the other side.